Let's turn to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter number 4, Colossians, chapter number 4. And reading just one verse in Colossians 4 and verse number 6. In our study of the marks of Christians so far, we studied the mark of patience for 2 weeks. We studied the mark of humility for a couple of weeks. Tonight, I want us to consider the third mark of a Christian, and that is speaking with grace. Speaking with grace. All right, let's read Colossians 4 and verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Let me just stop for a moment, and let's go back and look at this. If you're in the habit of underlining in your Bible, I want you to underline that word always. Circle it, whatever you do, highlight it. It says, let your speech be always with grace, all right? Seasoned with salt, that ye may know that ye how ye ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for your goodness, your love to us. We pray now, Father, as we begin to look at this this third mark of a Christian, speaking with grace, Father, that you would, again, Father, speak to this pastor's heart, even as I bring this message to your people today in this Bible study. Father, I pray that the same Holy Spirit that would speak to my heart would speak to the heart of your people that are here as well. Father, help us to understand that this is a mark that every Christian ought to have in their life, and just not once in a while, just not every month or so, just not every few hours, but according to your word, Father, it says this, that our speech be always with grace. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. Be with the other ministries as they close out in a few moments, Father, their Bible studies and their lessons today. And, Father, may we just give you honor and glory for it all. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Marks of a Christian speaking with grace. Speaking of speech, I want to give you some preventative tactics or some things that you should never say once without thinking twice. Now think about this. Never say once without thinking twice. The first one is this concerning our speech. Oh, it's no trouble at all. How many times have you said that? The second one is, I love dogs. Why do you ask? Guess what? This pastor is never going to say that. You don't have to worry about me ever saying it once, a half, a quarter, an eighth, or however small it can get. I'm never going to say that. Oh, we have plenty of room. Be careful about that. Oh, just call me anytime. How about this? Is there anything I can do to be a blessing to you? Oh, boy. How about this? My husband, or you could say my wife, is a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, or a pastor. You know, be careful. Never say once without thinking twice. How about this? Of course, bring your kids. We enjoy kids. I did that before. How about this? And this is usually the husband that says this. Why don't you just stay for dinner? My wife won't mind. Oh, don't ever do that. Let me tell you that. If worse comes to worse, you can just use mine. Oh, boy, you get into trouble when you never say once without thinking twice. How about this? Don't worry. There's more where that came from. And how about the last one? Over my dead body, you will. If you're not careful, you might be a dead body. Well, this phrase that the Apostle Paul writes to the church of Colossae in chapter 4 and verse number 6, that phrase, always with grace, literally means this, always with graciousness or goodness. It also has the idea of the Lord's influence upon our heart and the reflection in our life. So it's not only has to do with what's in our heart, but because it's in our heart, it ought to reflect outside of our internal man, our spiritual man, and show up in our fleshly or our physical man. We know that the tongue has very incredible power. A kind word can build you up. Turn to Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. I need someone to read verse 20 and 21. A kind word can definitely build you up. Who would read that? Proverbs 10. Verses 20 and 21. All right, everyone forgot how to read? I don't think there's any big names in this one. All right, Ms. Shannon, thank you.
The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous speak many, but
See, understand this, the kind word that we speak against other people, and it says the tongue of the just is a choice silver. Then it said the lips of the righteous feed many. But just as a kind word can build you up, turn to James chapter 3 and verse number 6. Notice this, that a mean or a hateful word can break someone's heart. A mean or hateful word can break someone's heart. We're speaking about marks of a Christian speaking with grace. Who would read James 3 and verse number 6? All right, go ahead, Vicky. Thank you. All right, that's good, Vicky, but you have to read it like Alexander Scorby when he reads the Bible. You have to dramatize it. So it'd be like, and the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. And so the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. That's how you have to read that verse. See, it gives more emphasis really on what we're trying to say. You know, kind words can build you up, but then according to James 3 and verse number 6, a mean or hateful word really can break your heart or also break you down. I want you to notice, first of all, tonight, as time allows, we ought to speak with grace. To speak with grace, you need to have grace in your heart. To speak with grace, you need to have grace in your heart. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with, get these next words, grace in your heart to the Lord. You see, before your speech can be always with grace, guess what? You got to have grace in your heart. I think that's perhaps what the Lord meant in Luke 6 and verse number 45 when he said, a good man out of a good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And then this is the part that we pretty much all have memorized in Luke 6 verse number 45, the third part of that verse. The Bible says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, you ever been around someone before and they're supposedly a brother or sister in the Lord and you're talking with them and all of a sudden they let a foul word come out of their mouth or a curse word comes out or maybe a euphemism for the Lord and they look right at you and say, oh, I don't know where that came from. You know what you can say? I know where it came from. It came from your heart. That's where it came from. You know, that's what the Lord says here. He says, the good treasures bringing forth that which is good, and the evil man, now the evil treasures of the heart, bringing forth that which is evil. So a person who says kind things, guess what? He has kind things inside of his heart. A person who says negative things, guess what? They have a negative heart. And guess what? A person who says mean things, you know what? They have a mean heart. Now, I understand this, that people can be hypocrites. And, you know, they can say a kind word this way, and out of the sideways of their mouth, they say mean things the other way. But in generally, over a long haul, you'll find people that are just mean people. And they speak mean, they talk mean, they act mean, everything they do is mean. And then you have other people that are negative. Listen, I don't know if I'd rather be around a mean person or a negative person. I don't know. Negativity is something I just don't want to be around. I don't have anything to do with that. You know, I have enough negativity in my own flesh, you know. I don't need to be beat down by someone else's negativity. But the truth is, what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. That's what the Lord said. And so, we could say this, what's inside is going to come out. It might come out when we're angry or when we're upset. It might come out all the time. But the source of where it comes from is no doubt it comes from our heart. So we need to have grace inside of our hearts. Colossians 3 and verse 17, the Bible says this, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So when we look at this verse, basically we could say this, and whatsoever ye do, get this now, in word or deed. And I personally believe this, that oftentimes because of what our heart is, it manifests itself in word or deed, and that's why Paul writes this, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That simply, we could say this, what we say and what we do ought to be done with the approval of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. I think we'd ask ourselves this question, would the Lord approve of your speech? Would the Lord approve of your deeds? Would he approve of your actions? Would he approve of the words that's coming out of your mouth? To speak the name of Jesus, guess what? Grace has to be inside our hearts. If you think about it, no one who curses on a regular basis and swears or even lies or gossips or talks about other people or runs other people down, they're not letting the word of God dwell in them richly. They're not letting the word of Christ dwell in them richly. And we should try to make that this our goal. Whatever we say, we ought to be able to say it in the name of the Lord. So if we do that, if we can say it and then attach on to the end in the name of the Lord, I wonder really how is our speech going to be? We'll have a hard time yelling at another driver in Jesus' name, like, get over, what are you doing in Jesus' name? Be a hard time to do that, wouldn't it? Be a hard time to scream at your kids and then in the end say, in Jesus' name. Be hard to do that, wouldn't it? It'd be hard to say unkind things to your spouse, maybe anger issues, and you're spouting out. It'd be hard to say that, but yelling at them and get an attitude with them and then say, in Jesus' name. Be hard to do that. How about this? And I think this is where we really need to be tonight and next week is really have a hard time talking sharply or rudely to another brother or sister in Jesus' name. You know, we're a family here, and I don't know how your family is when you're away from this family, but you know what? Oftentimes the way that you speak to other brothers and sisters in the Lord is reflective upon your total attitude towards your family, friends, and loved ones as well. And, you know, here's the truth of the matter is, we ought not to be speaking sharply or rudely to other people. I don't care if you had a bad day. I don't care if your bank account is empty. I don't care if you just wrecked your car. I don't care how much pressure you have. It doesn't say anything in here about that. It says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So some of us, be quite honest with you, we got to check up our speech. Our speech isn't pure. Our speech isn't just. Our speech isn't right. Our speech, we can't attach giving thanks to God the Father by him by it. Our speech is not right. So I'm simply saying this. We need to check our speech. We should bear in our bodies the mark of speaking with graciousness towards one another. Again, what you do at home is your business. But I tell you what, if you practice it at home, it will carry forth here to the house of God. You say, well, who's the pastor talking about? I know what you're thinking, because I sat there before too. But now I'm on this side, all right? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the pew, and I'm talking about the pulpit. All of us need to season our speech with graciousness, particularly to those who are in the same family of us. I heard some people talk to other brothers and sisters in the Lord that they wouldn't talk to someone down at the Kroger grocery store. They wouldn't speak to them like that. But they think, well, they're a Christian. If I just blow my steam off, they'll forgive me. Yeah, hopefully, prayerfully, they'll forgive you. But that's not the attitude we ought to have. Our speech ought to be seasoned with grace. A mark of a Christian is that our speech is seasoned with grace. So you say, well, I can't do that. I beg to differ. I don't think it would say, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I don't think Paul would write that if it was an expectation for you and I, if the Holy Spirit wasn't available to you and I to empower us to control our speech. So I think that every one of us, myself included, ought to really think about this thing of this speech and speaking with graciousness. You know, oftentimes, it's not what we say, but it's how we say it, you know? And sometimes how we say it is even worse than what we say. And here's the other thing. Debbie could say something to Pastor Tim, and she could mean it in the most politest way. Pastor Tim could hear it, and he could reverse it around in his mind and think that she's talking bad about him. And then he gets mad at her, and he snips back at her. And you say, well, yeah, they do that. Well, so do you. If you're married, you do. That's right. You have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you do that. If you have children, you do that. If you're a human, you do that. And we do it as well. But we need to watch our speech. It should be we should bear the marks of someone who has grace in our hearts. Well, how do we have grace in our hearts? Let me ask you this, then we'll be done. How do we get this grace in our hearts? Debbie? Drawing closer to the Lord, yes. Great answer. Great answer. What else? Pardon me? Study the Word of God. That's a great answer. The Holy Spirit. Thank you, Ed. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know what? That is so true. You know, it's hard to gossip or talk about someone and then turn around and pray for them. You know, that's usually you have to end up praying for yourself, ask to be forgiven before you can pray for them. Just save you a couple breaths and just do what's right. What else? How else? Think before you speak. That's right. That's right. How many times have we open mouth, insert foot, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. I've done it. What else? Put yourself in another person's place. That's right. That's a great answer, yes. That's right. If it's not kind or necessary, it's not needed. And we'll cover some of that next week. That's good. Somebody else? Yes. Think twice and speak once. Yes. Yes, that's good. How can we have this grace in our heart? That's right. That's a great answer. Let me just help you and then we'll be done. You know, some of us have good dispositions. I'm not saying that's me. I'm just saying some of us here. You know, we have good dispositions, all right? Some of us have, guess what? Bad dispositions. And we're more negative than we are positive, all right? And so if you know you're that way, boy, your primary prayer in the morning during devotion time ought to be, God, help me shut my mouth today. That ought to be your number one prayer. You know, memorizing Scripture, meditating upon the Scripture, asking God to be a help to you. When you think about how to have God's grace in our hearts, I'm reminded of Romans 5:12. It says, by whom also we have access by faith. Get this now, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We're speaking about having true salvation, true salvation. You know, if you're not born again, you're not saved. Trust in Christ as your personal Savior. You're not going to exhibit this area of graciousness in your life. You're not going to have it inside of you. As a matter of fact, I believe it even moves on to not only true salvation, but complete surrender to God in your life. You know, the most miserable person in all the world is someone who's not surrendered to what God would have them to do. You know, and I'm not saying you surrender to be a missionary and go to Spain. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the gentle surrender of your life, to be obedient to whatever God speaks to your heart about. It might be like Tracy. Basically, you know, she said she was bothered by it. She was under conviction. And she was worried about it. She wanted to do what she told God she was going to do. You know what? After she did it, she had the peace of God come through. You see, it's not only a true salvation, but a complete surrender of whatever God would have you to do, whatever that might be. I don't know what it is, but you do know that. And so I think you should trust to do that. You know, if you were just to open up your electronic concordance and type the word grace in there, boy, you'd be really surprised on how many verses of grace there was. And you know what? I read every one. I read every one the other day, but I forgot to write down the number that there was. So I'll have to go back for my notes and do it. I'll let you know next week. But I read every verse that dealt with grace. It took me a while to do that. And I kept thinking about where the Apostle Paul, on numerous occasions, he said words like, the grace of God, which is given by Jesus Christ. The grace of God, he says, given unto me in different derivatives. A third thing he used to say, by whom we have received grace. Listen, you can't do it. You can't do it. I'm telling you can't do it. You need the grace of God. It begins with salvation. It continues with a complete submission to him. So we'll stop here for today with all that good news I just gave out to you. Amen. And we'll pick it up again next week. And we'll look at some four tests of gracious speech found in this passage of Scripture. Amen. So suffice to say, let's check our speech. And let's make sure that it is with graciousness or grace by the words that we speak. Amen. So I tell you what, you talk to the Lord about that in your life. I'll continue to talk to the Lord about it in my life. And we'll get back together on Sunday and we'll have a great day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go.